In our third patient case, Dr. Aroni will share some insights about the role of combination therapy. Hi there, my name is Prakash Chandran, and this is a Pfizer podcast series. And today we're going to be getting to know obesity medicine expert, Dr. Louis Aroni. Dr. Aroni, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time. So before we get started, you shared some meaningful advice you received earlier in your career during our last episode. So do you have any advice you might want to share with listeners who want to make an impact in their field, whether that be obesity medicine or otherwise, and maybe they feel like they're hitting their head against a wall or they're kind of suffering a lot of the same challenges that you did, you know, back in the late 80s. Do you have any advice or any recommendations that you could give them to just, you know, they can take with them as they go through and try to make improvements and breakthroughs in their fields?
Sure. A couple of things. You've got to think outside the box in trying to solve the problems that you're faced with. I mean, you could spend an hour talking about that, but I think that advice has been really, really helpful in trying to come up with new treatments and not limiting my thinking to one path or another path. Being very patient and ignoring criticism. When people have criticized me, you know, I've tried to think it through and see what it meant, but still stick to my guns and stay true to what I started out to do. And you have to almost feel you can't focus on things like how much money you're making, because doing things like this don't always work as well as you might like them to. You know, sometimes you hit it big, but a lot of times you don't, but you still can make progress. I also think about, you know, what would I be doing if I weren't doing this? You know, would I be sitting in some urgent care center, you know, checking people for colds? And not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, I feel my life has very exciting, very interesting. I've gotten to meet amazing people doing this. Yeah. And I've gotten the gratification of treating people who could not be treated in any other way before. Yeah. And as a physician, that is exciting.
I love that. Now, Dr. Aroni, can you tell us a little bit about DF?
DF is a 53-year-old man. And when we first saw him, he has multiple complications like sleep apnea, hypertension, et cetera. But he started at about 290 pounds and had been gaining for a long period of time and was unable to lose any weight and was, like most of our patients, completely demoralized. He was willing to change his diet, but the problem was he couldn't comply in the long run. What we did was started him on metformin as a first line, and we did not have Qsymia. We didn't have Contrave. We basically had nothing besides phentermine, which in 50-year-old guys is not a good choice because of the risk of cardiovascular disease. So, and what we've developed is a way of treating people that minimizes the use of phentermine, which is the most widely prescribed medicine for obesity at the present time. It's a non-specific stimulant like Adderall. It can increase pulse and blood pressure, but we avoid it in most of our patients because we see people who are at high cardiovascular risk, and you don't want to be around if someone has a heart attack or stroke and they're taking phentermine. We're very cautious about prescribing. So here we have DF, and he was started initially on metformin. We then gave him bupropion. Bupropion is part of the combination of two medicines that are in Contrave. One is bupropion, the other is naltrexone, and together they reduce cravings, thinking about food, and appetite. And then we also use topiramate. Topiramate is approved for seizure disorders and migraine headaches. It's been studied in binge eating, and it works. Clearly reduces thinking about food. So people, they'll tell us, I know there's something in the refrigerator and I want to eat it, like it's in my mind, sitting on the couch watching TV. I know that thing's in the refrigerator. And until I go eat it, I can't get that thing out of my mind. But you give people topiramate and it's like, wow, the food's there. I'm here. I don't have to go eat the food. So on this combination, he was on 1,000 milligrams of metformin, relatively low dose, bupropion, a standard 300 milligrams, and topiramate, just 80 milligrams. He got down to about 238. So he lost 50 pounds, 20% of his total body weight. And then ensued the counter-regulatory or counter-balancing forces that try to make you regain weight. So when we get people to lose weight and they stop losing weight, the reason is there are multiple hormones. Some go down like leptin, some go up like ghrelin, but they make it difficult to comply with a diet and they reduce energy expenditure dramatically out of proportion to the weight loss. So with a weight loss like this, about 20%, his body thinks he's starving to death, that his brain thinks that he's lost 60 or 70% of his body fat, even though he's only lost a little bit less than 20%. So now here we are with DF. We're fighting tooth and nail to keep his weight under control. We increased his topiramate after about a year. We then added liraglutide, GLP-1. Not much happened. So he was taking lira all through this. And why isn't it working? It's because the counterbalancing mechanisms are so powerful that I think it barely was keeping him stable, down about 30 pounds or 10% of his body weight. That 10% weight loss reduces your risk of developing type 2 diabetes by about 80%. That's a pretty good result. So just keeping him at 260 was okay. So here we went through a period of trying different things and of him doing more intensive dieting, like low-carb dieting, lost weight, then all of a sudden he regains it. We tried discontinuing lira because he developed GI symptoms. And that's something that you may see in our cases, that sometimes people will develop GI symptoms from GLP-1s over a long period of time. But if you cut back the dose or stop it and then later you restart it, I mean, sometimes it's okay and it's tolerable, or a different GLP-1 will be tolerable. So we discontinued it and we gave him canagliflozin, an SGLT2 inhibitor, which gets rid of a few hundred calories, seems to improve insulin sensitivity. He did lose some weight. He then regained it. We had stopped the canna, then we restarted it. His weight went down and stabilized. We then added naltrexone, and it looks like that was a good idea, because adding naltrexone to the metformin, bupropion, topiramate, and canna, started losing weight again for the first time in about 5 years. And so he gradually loses this weight. He was better able to comply with the diet, right? So it's not, and this is a really important point. If you look at what medicine does, it helps people to comply with the dietary recommendations that you're making. There is better compliance when people are taking medicine because they're not as hungry, they're full sooner, they don't have as many cravings, depending upon the medicine that you're using. So we added the naltrexone. So you can see that the combination of bupropion and naltrexone together, that's really helpful. And he kept going down. Then he started to fail. We restarted liraglutide. It stabilized him. And then at a certain point, we started him on lorcaserin, which is no longer available. Lorcaserin is off the market, but look at the weight loss that he achieved by adding the lorcaserin and discontinuing the GLP-1. I mean, it was phenomenal. He got to his lowest weight ever with the addition of the lorcaserin. Okay. And again, all the other medicines. So we don't stop all the others and start something else. We add things on, because if we had just given him lorcaserin and stopped all the other medicines, I bet he would have gained weight. And then eventually lorcaserin was discontinued and semaglutide was available. We're able to get that for him, and it's even better in his case. So he's continued to lose weight, and look where he is now. He's 200 pounds down from 290 without surgery, without any type of modification of his body. That is the promise of medical treatment of obesity, that we could get him. His BMI now is in the high twos, like 29. His sleep apnea is gone. His blood pressure is great. His lipids are great. Okay. This is what I'm talking about when we're talking about treating obesity. A triple drug therapy got the initial effect. Then the counterbalancing system kicked in. Adding a GLP-1 didn't do anything. Adding lorcaserin seemed to do something, working on the 5-HT2C mechanism. And then SEMA, we're able to just blow it out of the water. So combination therapies for now are going to be the way to go. if you look at some of the things in development, they're combination therapies, like the drug that Novo's working on now, cagrilintide, which is an amylin analog, plus semaglutide. Now, if that's tolerable and doesn't cause too much nausea, and both those drugs cause nausea, you could have 25% weight loss, just like surgery, with one injection weekly. We look at these as chronic therapies, that chronic treatment and maybe additional treatment is going to be necessary. I mean, the fact is that some people can go off the medicine and some people can take less medicine. Another good question is, could a GLP-1 by itself do the same thing now that we haven't? And the answer is, it's possible. We have cases, and this is going to be one of them, where we're going to start taking other medicines away to see if the patient just maintains their weight loss. It's possible that with a single drug, when I think about SEMA, I look at its different location in the brain, it is said, right? So it doesn't just hit the arcuate nucleus, it hits other geographic locations that are involved in weight regulations, right? So when you think about what's the difference between liraglutide, dulaglutide, those are seem to be hypothalamically active. SEMA is different. So these lipid modified GLP-1s seem to do something that's very different. Let me also say that the 5 to 10% weight loss milestone, which you've heard about ad nauseum, 5% weight loss produces a 50% reduction in the risk of developing type 2 diabetes, 50% reduction. So we work with insurance companies and we're doing programs now. They want a 5% or greater weight loss. The Endocrine Society published guidelines specifically on medical treatment several years ago. I was part of that committee with Caroline Povian, Dan Besseson, and a number of other people. So there is a guideline for medical treatment. It's a little out of date. It doesn't include SEMA. It has lorcaserin, but it recognizes that these drugs work, that combination therapies work. But I think that as we move forward, the field is getting the idea that this strategy works. Just in the past year, it was shown that metformin will enhance the release of GDF-15 from the gut, and GDF-15 itself is being studied as a weight loss agent. It increases satiety. And it does it, by the way, in a completely different way from the GLP-1s.
I think that for the foreseeable future, combination therapy will play an extremely important role in producing the efficacy that we need to manage patients with significant levels of obesity. What we've seen in the past is that a single agent with a single mode of action can have its action bypassed through other pathways. And a number of studies have now shown that combination therapies can overcome these barriers. So I think that to get the type of efficacy we want to see, which is a weight loss of 15% or greater, I think we're going to need to use combination therapies. I also think that older medications can be a part of combination therapies. We're using these right now, and I see no reason to not consider them.
In this case, you heard about using a multi-pronged approach in obesity medicine and the impact of weight loss on the risk of developing diabetes. Next time, you'll hear about SP, and you'll have to listen closely to catch how many GLP-1 RAs she tried. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Pfizer Podcast Series. My name is Prakash Chandran, and we'll talk next time.